Amen. Well, let's turn to two passages, Matthew 28:18, and then 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. A lot of people hurting, and we never know when we might be among that number as well, when we need to cast all of our care upon Him. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7, I'll say the reference, and then if we can say the verse together and the reference together. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7, let's do it again. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7, one last time. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. I pray that would be a blessing to our hearts. And then Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We've been looking at evangelism, and that's upon all of our hearts. We just want people to be saved. We want to reach them with the gospel. And there are two different ways I'd like to look at tonight to evangelize. One of them is active, and one of them is passive. In verse 19, the first word is what? Go. So that is active, active evangelism. The word active means requiring the expenditure of energy. Requiring the expenditure of energy. That's what's going to be so tough. Right now, there's so many people that are laid off or getting laid off. And you know how hard it is once you stop everything, then to get it going again. You know, if you have a surgery or something and you can't use your arm, your foot, whatever it is, and then to try to get going again, it's hard. And it's going to be the same way with work. People are going to get used to sleeping in. And then when work starts again, to get up, it's going to be hard. So requiring expenditure of energy. Example in heat. You can heat a house two ways. You can heat it actively or passively. When you heat a house actively, you have a furnace. It might be a wood furnace. It might be gas. Back years ago, it could be oil. So actively heating your house also requires usually money. Unless you're heating with wood and you have the wood behind your house where you can just cut it, that's great. So that's actively heating your house. You are having to burn some fuel to get your house warm. But there's also a way to passively heat your home. Passive means not active or operating. Making direct use of the sun's heat, usually without the intervention of mechanical devices. That's Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. So passive, say that definition again, not active or operating, making direct use of the sun's heat, usually without the intervention of mechanical devices. When I was a boy, for most of the years growing up, we lived in a house that had a brick exterior to it. And I can remember on even like a fall evening, being out in the backyard and just standing with my back to the house, the bricks. And the bricks were just radiating heat. The sun had just heated up those bricks. And so even when it was getting cool, they were still radiating heat. I remember when we saw Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie in Mexico the first time, I believe it was. Was that where you had the big house you were renting? Okay. I remember going down there, and I thought Mexico was going to be warm. And it was cold when we went there that time. The director of the language school had a dog, and the water in the dog's dish froze that night. And I can remember sitting in Pastor Pepe's church, which we heard not too long ago, and I was just shaking. I was literally, my knees were literally shaking. I was so cold in there, and I was wishing I had about two or three layers on. And then he had me speak, and I don't know if anyone heard my teeth chatter, but I was freezing. I thought I was going to get pneumonia, but I was so cold. But we found out in their house that, you know, from the night getting so cold, then the house would just, that stone or stucco, whatever it was, would just radiate cold until about noon. And once the sun started warming up that concrete house, then it would start helping a little bit. So then into the evening. But then in the morning, I mean, it was freezing. So that is passive heat. It's absorbing what's around it, whether cold or hot, and then it radiates that same thing for a period of time. So in evangelism, there's two different ways to evangelize. One is actively, and one is passively. And believe it or not, the Bible teaches both. Well, let's look at the active evangelism. Number one, active evangelism. Expending energy directly for the purpose of evangelism. This is dedicated time to preach the gospel. Let's look at Isaiah 61 and verse 1. We need these times. We need these times that are solely directed right for evangelism. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to what? Preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So he said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. The word preach means to announce, to publish, to show forth. Now, you may not think of it that way, but the printing ministry is all about preaching. It's that part of it, to announce, to publish, to show forth. Two people have written back to us so far from the coronavirus track, one in Maine and one in Ohio, saying they got saved, so we rejoice in that. So when you are taking part in the printing ministry, that is a part of preaching, of publishing and proclaiming the gospel. So Isaiah 61:1. Let's look at Jonah 3. Jonah chapter 3. Now, what is the advantage of preaching over, say, a discussion? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible talks a lot about preaching. The Bible talks a lot about teaching. You'll see the Apostle Paul, he's in some situations that were one-on-one back and forth. There's nothing wrong with that, but the Bible emphasizes preaching. Why? Because it's proclaiming the truth of God's Word, and Lord willing, if it's biblical preaching, what should have the last word? The Bible. The Bible should have the last word. You know, many times now on websites, you know, someone will do something and then below it there's, forget what you call that, but anyway, people have a place to write in their thoughts. And so, oftentimes they have the last word. So it's no wonder that the Bible emphasizes preaching, because who should have the last word? God should, through His Word. Jonah 3, verse 1. And the what? Word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and what? Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It wasn't time for a discussion. This was a deadline. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall what? Be overthrown. There, it was beyond talking. That was the verdict. And then, praise God, they repented at the preaching. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew 4, 16. We're talking about actively evangelizing and preaching. Matthew 4, 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, who? Jesus. Jesus began to what? To preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the very first thing he did in his public ministry was preach. He proclaimed the truth. And then in Matthew 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, another instance of active evangelism. Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, what? Preach. Preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus preached. The disciples preached. He told the 12 to preach. Matthew 10, verse 27. Matthew 10, 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that what? Preach ye upon the housetops. Now, along with preaching, we need verse 28. And fear not them which what? Kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The thing is when you preach and people don't like it, they let you know many times. And so we must have the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, and verse 1. Matthew 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to what? To preach in their cities. And then Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I'm trying to show you how important it is in the Bible, the emphasis on preaching for evangelism. Because we are living in a day where it just seems like the more contemporary a situation gets, the less there is the preaching. Mark 1 and verse 1. Mark 1 verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and what? Preach. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then Mark 3. Mark 3 and verse 13. Mark 3 and verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. And then in Mark 16, Mark 16 and verse 14, Mark 16, 14, Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Then Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You may say, well, that's a lot of passages. There are a lot of passages about preaching, the command to preach, the example of preaching. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and what? Preach the kingdom of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. Acts 5 and verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and what? Preach Jesus Christ. Acts 14 and verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and what? Preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. So when Paul was preaching to these people, he mentions about the Creator. And in our preaching and teaching, we're going to have to do that more and more because people are so entrenched in evolution. Acts 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I what, preach unto you, is Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we what? Preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is what Paul preached. Look in verse 13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they what? Preach, except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that what? Preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. When Brother Ken Miller was alive and serving the Lord, well, he's still alive, amen. He's more alive now than he's ever been. He's in heaven with the Lord. But he was not a tall man, but he had a really big shoe. I don't know if it was like, was it 12? I don't know if any of you remember. But I don't know. I don't know if he was maybe 5'8". I don't know. Brother Jim, you think he was maybe 5'8 something? But I think he had a size 12 shoe. For a 5'8 person, that's a big shoe. But he had beautiful feet. Brother Ken loved to get the Word of God out. And that's part of what I talked about at his funeral. Just, he had beautiful feet. I don't think I ever saw his feet. But I know they were beautiful because of what the Bible says. Notice then in 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 1, 14. The Bible says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. The Bible says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And what does it say then? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what does that mean? It means the time will come when they will not endure preaching. And the preaching should be that sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of what? An evangelist. So that is the active evangelism. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then one last passage dealing with this. Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 6. Revelation 14, 6. The Bible says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. In the tribulation period, God is even going to use angels to preach the gospel. So that's active evangelism. That's what we do with the printing ministry. That's publishing the Word of God. That's what we do, public ministry, nursing home ministries, parade ministries, park ministries. Those are times dedicated to preaching the gospel and the Word of God. But then let's look at number two, passive evangelism. What is passive evangelism? It doesn't even sound scriptural, but let's look at it. The definition is not actively pursuing evangelism, but nonetheless accomplishing it through faithful Christian testimony. Let me read that again. Passive evangelism is not actively pursuing evangelism, but nonetheless accomplishing it through faithful Christian testimony. In other words, there are times when we are not involved in a park ministry, or a parade ministry, or a nursing home ministry, or going door to door, or here preaching and teaching. There are times when we are on a journey, a task, something, but we can still passively evangelize, even in those times. How? Well, let's look at Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. How can we passively evangelize? It sounds strange. Matthew 5:13. The Bible says, ye are what? The salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth what? Good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Before I came to church tonight, I had four little Dixie cups, and one I had salt, and one I had confectioner's sugar. In another, I had regular sugar. And in the other one, I had white flour. And I was going to have someone come up and try to discern the salt. But on the way here, I had an accident. And they kind of got mixed up. Okay, so I had to scratch that illustration. So you'll have to do that on your own at home. Maybe you better not right now. Flour is hard to come by, so you better wait to do that test at home. Okay. So we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, now some of you no doubt would have been able to tell. The flour, the white flour, was still slightly brown compared to the salt. The confectioner's sugar is pretty white. That probably would have been the toughest to discern, whether that was flour or sugar, because the granules are so small. Now, between the sugar and the salt, one giveaway is that they both sparkle in the light. And so then it's trying to figure out, okay, which is the sugar? Which is the salt? Some of you may, from just experience, you might have been able to tell. But for others, there would have been only one way to tell between the sugar and the salt, is taste and see. And then you'd immediately know. How is it that we in our lives can evangelize, even when we are not out for that sole purpose? How can we still passively evangelize? How can we still accomplish evangelism, even when we're on another task? Well, it's being this salt. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5, how can people tell? 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. So how can they tell? Even when we're not out. How can they tell if we are religious? How can they tell if we are a Christian? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. One way they can tell is just by our appearance. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Modest apparel. You'd be surprised how many times if you see someone that is modestly dressed, many times people will think there is a religious person. So that's one way we can be salt. I know for a fact sometimes when we have visitors and they are not dressed like a modest woman would be dressed, they feel uncomfortable, and sometimes they relate that to us later. Well, I felt uncomfortable the way I was dressed. That's what I'm talking about. You can accomplish passive evangelism just by your appearance. People think there's a religious person. That's one way right there. Notice in 1 Corinthians 11. So people look at us. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is what? A shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is what? A glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So the Bible tells us that even nature teaches us that. So if I, as a man, am walking around with long hair, that's not going to be very good for passive evangelism. It's not going to be very good for my testimony at all, because that's not what a Christian man should have. So being different from the world, our appearance, being different from the world and the way we talk. Notice in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4. Ruth 2:4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, what? The Lord be with you. And they answered him, what? Lord bless thee. So even when we are doing that, wherever we are, if we say to someone, the Lord bless you, like Boaz did to his workers, and like the workers did to Boaz, that is accomplishing passive evangelism right there. We are blessing someone in the name of the Lord, and anyone within hearing distance knows there's something different about us. Because many times bosses do not bless their workers. Yeah, they use the Lord's name, but in vain at their workers. And vice versa. The workers talking back to the boss, using God's name in vain. So we can accomplish passive evangelism just by our speech. And by the way that we walk. Notice in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 10. We need to be different than the world through the way that we talk, and different through the world from the world in the way that we walk. Colossians 1:10. That ye might what? Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, how do we walk worthy? What do we do? Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. Now, if we fly off the handle in front of the lost, that's not evangelizing. In fact, if we try to evangelize them, they'll probably say, get out of here then. So just by showing patience. Sometimes I've dealt with stores about different issues, and they will say to me, thank you for your patience. That is a good testimony. Unto all patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. As Christians, we shouldn't go around with a long face. We should have the joy of the Lord. So that is one way to passively evangelize, is to exhibit patience, long suffering, joyfulness. Then in verse 12, giving what? Thanks unto the Father. My wife and I were in the store, I don't know how many days ago, but I forget even what the conversation was, but one of the clerks was there and said something, and I said, praise the Lord. And she said, yes, praise the Lord. Just things like that. We may not be preaching a message to all these people, but nonetheless, it is passively evangelizing because it's having an impact on them. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Lord. We're to declare his heathen among the... We are to declare his glory among the heathen. So let us not hold back. You know, maybe it is all unsaved people around us. Say it anyway. Say it. Praise the Lord. Say it. Thank you, Lord. How are they going to know? I think of it over and over. How did Potiphar know that it was the Lord prospering Joseph? How did Potiphar know it was the Lord making all that Joseph did to prosper? There's only one way Potiphar could have known that. If Joseph said it with his mouth. His boss praised him for the good job done. Joseph had to be then deflecting the praise right to God. Otherwise, Potiphar would not have known it was God. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So these are ways we can passively evangelize. And then back in Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let what? Your light what? So shine before men that they may see what? Your good works and glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. This is passive evangelism. It's letting our light shine that people might glorify God. And we've got to give them the credit or they're not going to glorify God. But this is what I'm talking about. Passive evangelism. Wherever we go, letting our light shine. I told you not too long ago, my wife and I were somewhere, and someone recognized us, and they said, you were on a float in Cedar Springs in a parade. So it's letting our light shine. And it's amazing what people remember. So let's not take this lightly, this passive part of evangelism. In other words, it's like this. Years ago, I was in the old Jorgensen store many years ago. I think it was before Meyer built their new store, so it was a good while ago. And in there was a preacher of another Baptist church, and he's long gone, left town. But he was in the fast checkout, and they didn't have self-checkouts in that day. But so he was in the fast checkout, and there was a lady in front of him that had more items than she should have. And you know what he did? He said, ma'am, don't you have more items than is allowed? And she kind of sheepishly said something and then left the line. I thought, oh. Who cared? Who cares if she had more items? But you know what? You're never going to evangelize that woman after that. Because obviously, he must have been in a hurry. And he was looking to get rid of some of those people, I guess. But that's not the way to passively evangelize, that's for sure. Then notice, so being salt, being light, these are passive evangelism. And number three, being loving. John 13. Being loving. So active evangelism, we are commanded to do. We are commanded to preach the word. But we're also commanded to take part in passive evangelism. Every part of our lives should be dedicated to God. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye what? Love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men what? Know that ye are what? My disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. This is passive evangelism. This is like, okay, I'm on the job and there's another Christian man. Or I'm somewhere out in the world and there's another Christian man. If a lost person sees that I have love for my Christian brother or sister, the Bible says here, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. You may say, how would that have an impact on anyone? Well, it's like this. If you've ever been in the working world, you know, everybody stabs everyone else in the back. That's what they do. And so, if they see two Christians that never stab each other in the back, that is passive evangelism, because you know what they're going to think? Boy, I wish I had a friendship like that. I wish I had a true friend like that. No matter how much this person is egged on, that person never stabs this other Christian in the back. You know what? There must be something to that. That's what Jesus was saying, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now on the job, you know, you don't always have a half hour to just stop working and preach the gospel to someone. But here is a means of passive evangelism. Even when we're not actively preaching the gospel, we're still moving people to Christ by watching what we are doing. Notice in Proverbs 17, and verse 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for what? Adversity. Oh, my. Brothers. They love to get down and wrestle and fight, and hopefully not too serious, but that's the way, you know, sometimes it is with siblings. Why is that? Sometimes siblings are not too patient with each other because they take each other for granted. They're around them every day, and so they take one another for granted. They more easily complain about one another. Why? Because they take each other for granted. And that is the same problem we as Christians can have if we're not careful. We need to appreciate one another. Notice in Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31. It says, let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye what? Kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the way we ought to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the way we ought to treat our brothers and sisters in the flesh too. But it's this, it's based upon Christ's forgiveness of us. And so this is passive evangelism. This is not allowing bitterness, wrath, strife to come between us, but kindness, being tender-hearted, not holding a grudge. Then one last passage, Galatians 6. This is another thing, verse 9, Galatians 6:9. This is another part of passive evangelism. People watch. They see what we do. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in what? Well-doing. Now, does anyone get to heaven by well-doing? No. But notice what it says. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. Isn't that the goal? Is to reap? Yes. Well, how do we do that? By not being weary in well-doing. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men, especially unto them who are of what? The household of faith. People watch that. Sometimes we went out with the men and roofed some of your homes. Sometimes cutting wood, splitting wood. People notice things. And you may say, well, what did you do last Saturday? Did you go out door to door? No, we roofed somebody's house. You may say, oh, boy, it's too bad you wasted that time. Could have been out door to door. That wasn't a waste of time. And you know what? That might accomplish some evangelism. Somebody that hears about what the church guys did, really? They roofed your house? What did they charge you? Nothing. You're kidding. They cut wood for you? They split wood for you? What did they charge you? Nothing. That is passive evangelism. No, you are not out door to door. No, you are not preaching from the float or from the park. But nonetheless, that is obeying the Scripture. Let us not be weary in well-doing. From due season we shall reap if we faint not, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. People notice that. And so that's what I'm talking about. So in the matter of evangelism, we need to be involved actively in evangelism. But you know what? Everything we do can be a help in evangelism, even if it's passive. God can use it. So what's the bottom line, really? Really, it's every moment, isn't it, dedicating our lives to Christ, doing what He would have us to do. I remember Brother Parfit, and I don't know if it's in the track. I may have been talking to Dylan or to Reese where I found this out, but I think it does say a little bit in the track. But they were building a house for some time. But Brother Parfit, whenever he heard about somebody that needed a refrigerator moved or a stove moved or they were moving to a different house or they needed help, you know, maybe something was broken in the car or this or that, he would leave his work, his house that he was building, and instead help somebody else in need. And what an impact he had on other people in his life. And he got his house done just before he died. The Lord had that worked out. But that man has many treasures in heaven. Because even, you know, during his lunch hour, I don't know if he worked right in Rochester, but during his lunch hour on some days, he would go out and street preach at noon. Other days, he would go out and sing. So he was involved in active and passive evangelism. And the Lord blessed him. And may the Lord bless us and help us in this manner of evangelism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. Lord, please help us. We want to see a harvest. And Lord, I pray that whether we're out door to door, whether we're at the park or on a float or whatever we're doing, Lord, I just pray that we would be Christ-like, that we would be living holy lives. For we realize, Lord, that even when we are not actively evangelizing, if our lives are what they should be, we will accomplish in those times passive evangelism. Even in those times, if our light shines, that people can be directed to You. So, Lord, please help us. We have no power of ourselves. We need Your help for the harvest. We pray in Jesus' name.